Good afternoon. This is the Chorus Call conference operator. Welcome, and thank you for joining the OVS 9 months 2016 financial results conference call. After the presentation, there will be an opportunity to ask questions. At this time, I would like to turn the conference over to Mr. Stefano Beraldo, CEO of OVS. Please go ahead, sir.
Good afternoon to everybody. I start by saying that the company has been able to compensate the very adverse conditions that the market, mostly because of weather-related issues, has impacted the year with actions which has been able to almost entirely mitigate the effect of the negative components. This, as a general sentence, I think is a way of saying that the company, even in hard times like this year, is able to perform. And in absence of what has been an unusually rainy and cold month of May, and what has been an unusually warm beginning of autumn, facts that has hit all the industry, and most of you might have noticed as many European competitors blamed the poor weather for their poor results, the company has been able to almost achieve its target and is performing, as you have seen from the press release and the document which has been sent to most of you, 4% of sale increase, which is below our expectation and which has been generated entirely by the new openings with an underlying like-for-like which is more or less in line with the first 6 months like-for-like which has been communicated during the first half result press conference call. EBITDA has been growing 7.7 million higher than the 9 months of last year, and EBITDA margin continuing increasing, less than expected from us, but still increasing by 30 basis points. EBIT growing, and the new opening generating the results that we expected, and even better. And market share in a still negative market continuing growing by 20 basis points versus January 2016, that was the last one we communicated. So the company continues growing even if in a challenging environment. In page 3 of the presentation, we have the evidence that EBITDA margin is growing from 12.5 to 12.8, and the PBT from 7.4 to 7.8. With sales increase of 4% generated by network expansion, where I need to underline that our new openings, which has been 28 full format, went very well, in line or above with the expectation, and this is one reason why we have been able to compensate the negative effect of the negative like-for-like. The other reason being that the new franchising store, mostly kids format, in Italy and abroad, are performing very well, and we opened another 114 stores during the year, which are doing very well. So the progression of the franchising growth has been higher than expected. And in some respect, this generated the need of diverting, if I might say that, some intake of goods from directly owned stores to franchising new opening, because we have achieved good new customers that has been in a higher number compared to the original expectation, that will generate a steady, solid growth for the next coming years. If we move to page 4, we can see the breakdown between the two brands. In terms of net sales, the 4% increase of sales has been generated both by OVS and UPIM. In terms of relative performance, you see that OVS grew by 3.7% and UPIM grew by 5.3%. And in terms of EBITDA, OVS posted a modest growth of 1.2%, basically 1.5 million euro, and UPIM posted a, to me, expected, maybe to some of you, surprising growth, moving from 8 to 15 million, and confirming, I think, that UPIM has successfully completed the repositioning, being transformed in a very solid and profitable company with still a lot of potential for a further profitability growth in light of the mix of stores, which is still partially penalized by some old original flagship, which is nice to have in terms of communication tools, but which is generating about 8, 9, 10% store EBITDA, once all the other new openings are generating from 18 to 22, 23% store EBITDA. So as more as UPIM will continue growing, as more positive mix effect will benefit, will be to the benefit of the EBITDA. In page 5, the working capital, there has been an increase in working capital explained by some specific aspect on trade receivable. There is a modest growth, which is in line with the new opening of franchising. The DSO are not changing, so the average payment term are not worsening, so the situation is totally under control, and there is a lot of EBITDA in the future that will be generated on a full year basis from this new franchisee. Inventory is growing as a combination of the new openings and also of the lower sales compared to the expected. Nothing dangerous, but clearly we expected on a full year a slightly positive like-for-like. We are generating a slightly negative like-for-like, and there is an imbalance in the inventory, which is the reason why this figure has been increased slightly. Then there is an effect on trade payables, which decreased mostly because of the tail of some extraordinary capex that we made in the last couple of years when we changed the biggest portion of our lighting system with a vendor financing whose last payment has been paid in this period. In terms of CapEx at page six, you can see that most of the CapEx has been generated by new openings with 21 million, and another 12 million has been generated by IT regular and extraordinary project related to the finalization of some important logistic and distribution improvements at operational level that required some CapEx related to that. At page seven, the net debt, which is increasing as a reason of this, once we exclude or we consider the dividends which has been paid. Another reason for the debt increase is that we suffered this year for a one-off effect at income tax level. Last year was the first year of operation of the new company, which was the carve-out of the original one, so no tax payment has been done. This year, we have to face the payment of the balance for the last year and the preliminary taxes for this year, so there is a negative one-off. We pay basically twice the normal amount of taxes, and this will be beneficial for next year cash flow. The remaining reason for the debt is that, as I told, the sales has been lower than expected, and there is a difference which is explained by the lower turnover compared to expected, basically. Also, this effect somehow is a kind of one-off because obviously we will keep into consideration in the total intake that we will buy for next year. In page eight, you have already seen the component of the consolidated cash flow statement, where again, the most important driver of cash absorption in the first 9 months, which is a period where the company absorbs structurally cash, are related to the seasonality of the business and to the other reason that I already mentioned. Finally, as a comment on the outlook, we underline that weather remain not exciting, even if now with, from the second part of November and now in December, finally temperatures are okay, are fine, and sales are reacting accordingly. We continued with a good expansion of stores. We increased another 20 stores, seven of which DOS full format. Our strategy remains totally unchanged. I think that the year has been a very difficult year, harder than expected. Market still weak and weather adverse. In spite of it, the company is almost achieving its target. I think we have a very good news because with the successful takeover launched by Sempione Retail, where OVS has a 35% combined with a call option to buy another 45% in 3 years with a 25% discount on the current, on the OVS multiples at the time of the call option exercise, is, I think, good news given that in these last 3 months, we had a lot of interactions with the company. The company performance is in line with our expectation, slightly better. We are discovering a lot of synergies on top of the ones that we prudently evaluated as a base case once we decided to enter in this acquisition. In these days, we have our team in Far East discussing with vendors, and we are realizing that given the general extremely weak performance of all the European players, with the exclusion of Zara, our vendors are eager to increase, to find the orders, because every European company is decreasing order, because every company faced the same problem that we did, but most of the companies didn't grow like we did, and none of them can visit the vendors in Far East with like a 30-40% increase in volume thanks to the acquisition that we made. This is originating great interest in the vendors, and which means great saving in the sourcing condition for next year. So we think that we are in the right track, we are doing the right thing. I don't think we made a major mistake as of now in managing the Italian market, which is difficult. We know that other companies in Italy are suffering much more. We have been able to almost entirely compensate the negative market thanks to the UPIM, thanks to the new openings, thanks to franchising, thanks to gross margin, which I didn't mention, but we had a gross margin improvement thanks to better sourcing that we already have been able to do on a standalone basis without the impact of Cialfegele. So all in all, a company which has been able to grow faster in the last 2 years, has been able to grow also this year in spite of weather, a company which is able to deliver the more or less, I would say, the expected result, a company that in absence of the weather impact should have posted results much higher than our budget. So I think I am over with my presentation, and I leave you to your Q&A. Thank you.
Excuse me, this is the Chorus Call conference operator. We will now begin the question and answer session. The first question is from Andrew Portos with HSBC. Please go ahead.
Hi, guys. Two from me, if I may. You talked about an improvement in sales trends as the weather has improved in November and December. Could you perhaps confirm whether you've returned to positive like-for-like growth on that basis? And the second one for me, you talked about some of your competitors being squeezed perhaps a bit more than you have by the bad weather. Would you anticipate that will throw up any more consolidation opportunities in the Italian market, or are you happy to take share with the business you've got?
Well, thank you for your question. Regarding the first question, sales trend in November and December, I have to say that it has been, we have a weekly graphic that we use to analyze compared to the weather and the temperature. I have to say that when temperatures decrease, we had weeks in November with temperature in line with the average, sales went up. And we had a couple of weeks with weather temperature much higher than normal, and sales went down. So the all in all, the overall sales as of now are not as increasing in order to legitimate, if I understood your question, a switch from negative to positive like for like. So I expect that on the full year basis, we will end up with more or less the same trend that is visible in the 9 months, because I don't think in 1.5 months we will be able to entirely compensate the gap. In terms of competitors' dynamics, you know, the Italian market is not as clearly monitored in order to exactly understand what happened to the competitors, but it is clear to us that because we know how the market share are moving, and these are officials, and because we know how many stores our competitor are opening, it is relatively easy for us to understand who is doing well and who is doing poorly. And we know that Zara is doing well, and as far as we know, all the others are suffering. And it is hard for many of them. So the answer is yes, there are for sure possibility to continue the consolidation of the market. As you are aware, because I think I told that during the last conversation, we were discussing about one Italian company. We stopped the discussions on price issues. Probably, I don't want to be unfair in saying that, but probably because the company during summer and because of September performed much worse than originally they aspired, they expected, and this is why I have been forced to change the price that I was ready to offer downward, as you can imagine. All the sector has been restated during summer. My company, our company, has been strongly penalized by the multiple, I think. And I have seen no reason not to penalize in the same extent the owner of this other potential target. So we stopped the discussions, but it is clear that the market is still offering opportunity for consolidation, and we are always ready to consider everything would be accretive and meaningful for our network.
Thank you.
The next question is from Luca Orsini with One Investments. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, Mr. Berardo. Just in reality, one question is, on the gross margin improvement that you mentioned during the call, can you tell us whether the improvement was also on Q3? And can you tell us from where it's coming from, the improvement? And then I have a question on like-for-like.
Well, on gross margin improvement, unless Perin, which is not with me in this moment, because we are in two different offices, I'm in Milan now, unless Perin correct me, because I don't have the figure in front of me, I think that even in the third quarter, we had a gross margin improvement, and we expect to end up the year with a gross margin improvement. This is because the combination of the dollar, which didn't affect negatively this year in a material way, and the continuous shift of vendors from areas which were originally considered as low-cost countries like China, and which are not anymore so low-cost country, in favor of other areas like Bangladesh, Vietnam, and Cambodia, where some of our competitors like H&M was already very well established, and we were very well established in Bangladesh, for instance, is generating cost saving in local currency in a material way. So the better gross margin doesn't come from a lower markdown policy. We had slightly less markdown, but with the last days, in order to react to the poor September, we have also increased our markdown. So I think we will end up with similar markdown compared to last year. But the reason for the gross margin improvement is a better intake. And the reason for the better intake is not higher prices, but it is lower cost in local currencies.
Thank you, Mr. Berardo. Then, on how business is doing now, I know you monitor temperatures as a key indicator much more than weeks, because the temperatures will drive people buying clothes in this part of the year. Can you tell us how is the like-for-like doing when the temperature is getting, if and when the temperature is colder than usual?
In general, we have noticed differences by 10% 1 week to the other. So we can have weeks with 5, 6, 7% positive, and weeks with the week after, suddenly we have a minus 6, minus 7, minus 4, things like that. So the variance between good weeks and bad weeks can be more than 10%.
Okay. Just one second. I have a question from Riccardo.
Hi, good afternoon. Again on the gross margin, if you can please give us also a view on 2017 and also keeping in mind that you have already edging in place and can you please remind us what that edging is and so we can have a better understanding on 2017 as well. Thank you.
Okay, I still ask Perrin to correct me in case I'm wrong, but I think we edged almost entirely the 2017 at 12.
Yeah, we are around 113.87, the full edge for 2017, so no material difference compared to the 1.14, that is the edge base for 2016 current results.
Okay, so I thought it was 1.12, better it is 1.13, so versus 1.14, nothing material. And what I may add is that, as I told before, we are surprised from the reaction of our vendors. I had all my Bangladesh vendors in Italy 2 weeks ago and last week, and this is because for this year, in light of the attack that some of you might remember has been hitting several lives in Dhaka a few months ago, we decided not to negotiate in Bangladesh for this season until the security measures were set up in a most appropriate way, which is something which is now much, much better. So for this season, I had the privilege of seeing all the suppliers in my offices as an exceptional. So I could meet many, many of them. And I've been surprised by a common sentence. They are desperately looking for orders because the European companies are buying much less than last year. And given that even without Jasvegele, we are buying something more than last year for the second half of next year, we are receiving much better buying condition before asking for an incremental premium reward thanks to the volume, additional volume of Jasvegele. So we are facing 4-5% discount in local currencies, which is more than sufficient to compensate the dollar slightly increase. So the forecast is, I made a long story for a short sentence, the forecast is the expectation next year is for a stable gross margin, and I see stable because I don't think we want to keep the advantages only for ourselves. We think that we are ready to give some advantage to the customer in terms of markdown. And this is before the synergies of Jasvegele. So on a standalone basis, I expect a stable gross margin. Because we have the sourcing of Jasvegele on top of it, I expect a higher gross margin next year thanks to the new synergies. And most of this will not be one-off. Most of it will be stable.
Thank you very much, Mr. Beraldo. Keep up.
Thank you.
The next question is from Simon Irwin with Credit Suisse. Please go ahead.
Hello. Just a few questions. Your comments on like-for-likes, as saying that they were substantially the same as first half. First half growth was 4.7%, and I think you were guiding to an LFL of minus 2.9. 3Q growth was 2.5%, so 2.2% lower. So presumably your LFL during 3Q was a couple of percent lower than the first half rate. Is that correct?
Well, you know, I don't have the figure in front of me, and we have decided not to give too much transparency on the monthly or quarterly like-on-like, and I would like to remain coherent with this decision that has been given to you almost 2 years ago. It is fair to assume that the like-for-like in the third quarter has been slightly worse than the average of the like-for-like of the first 6 months, and this is also easily explainable with one aspect. In the first 6 months, we had an unusual, a crazy month of May. So one out of 6 months, a very important month, has been strongly penalized by weather. In the third Q, we had another very unusual month, which is an important month, which is September. But September, in the mix of 3 months, generates a worse effect compared to May in a mix of 6 months. So I think that if nothing surprising will happen from now to the end of the year, given that September will be diluted in 6 month period of the second half, the global effect will be more or less the same on the first half.
Okay. Could you just talk a little bit about working capital trends? Obviously, lots of moving parts, but can you give us some guidance as to what you think the full year outcome for overall working capital will be?
Shouldn't be very different, the evolution from the one that is perceivable in the 9 months. There will not be any more, if I'm not wrong, any negative effect of the tail of the payment of CapEx. This will be not any more present in the fourth quarter. Then we have the.
May I jump in? There will be an important improvement in receivable because the major part of the franchisee in October are just receiving the new collection when in January they used to have on hand an important amount of money coming from the Christmas sales, and is a month where we collect a certain important amount of receivable. And on the other hand, payables will improve compared to last year in terms of delta between last year versus the third quarter, because there will not be any more this impact for the one-off or non-recurring coming from the CapEx payable, and also because we have some waves of procurement, of purchasing that will increase the payable amount. It will be much more linear compared to January 2016.
Right. So Jan 16, you were almost flat working capital as a business. Can you get back to that, do you think?
This is what I explained regarding our receivable and payables. What we will see if we would be able to also to recover this half of this gap in terms of inventory, and this of course depends from the current trading and from the expectation of sales in December and January.
Okay. And could you just talk a bit about Sempione as to when you will start supplying product to Sempione? Given that I think the deal only closed a few weeks ago, presumably you won't be supplying it through the first half of next year. I mean, can you get product in for 3Q, 4Q next year?
Let me say one thing before I give an answer to this question. I asked Nicola Perin to organize during the month of January, for the one of you that might have an interest, a specific presentation and discussion on Charles Wegele, because now that the Charles Wegele acquisition has been finalized, I think it is so important and so accretive that I think is appropriate to ask you some of your time to present and discuss in detail our plan. Coming back to your question, there will be a progression in the way the profitability and the turnover will be impacted by Charles Wegele. In the first queue, there will be for sure some turnover from our company to Charles Wegele because of a combination of a pilot store that Charles Wegele will open under OVS brand. We are finalizing the decision in these days. Probably 8-10 stores will be converted in the first 3 months as a pilot. And we will, the final effect will be like if we have opened another 10 franchisee full format store in the first three months. Then we are planning in these days with the management of Charles Wegele to invoice some kid staff because as you might remember, the Charles Wegele store are very poorly equipped in terms of kids segment. And even before the conversion, we are planning to deliver some kids stock in order to help Charles Wegele turnover, which obviously is also very interesting for our turnover. Then in the second quarter, there will be I stopped the sourcing of Charles Wegele from the deliveries of May. So once 30 days ago, it was clear that we should have closed the tender offer favorably. I convinced the Charles Wegele management to stop the sourcing from the last possible moment, that was May. So there's about 20 million of intake that Charles Wegele didn't order anymore for delivery date May, that will be replaced with the old stock OVS for last season, that will be as new for the Swiss market. And because in that moment we will start with the sales period of the Swiss stores, this merchandising will be very important for Charles Wegele and also a very good channel of cleaning stock for us. Then in the third quarter and in the fourth quarter, there will be the full intake for the total Charles Wegele business for the second half. So for an equivalent of 250 million turnover, which is about 120, 130, 140 million intake for them. So basically in the third and fourth quarter, there will be the full impact of the new configuration. So we will have our turnover to Charles Wegele like for a normal franchising, and in the first part of 2018 we will have the remaining store converted and the total conversion completed. But in terms of merchandising, which means EBITDA basically for us, the full speed effect will be achieved in the second half of 2017.
Excellent. That is very clear. Thank you very much for that.
Thank you.
The next question is from Angus Tweedie with Bank of America. Please go ahead.
Hi there. Thanks for taking my question. I was just wondering if you could elaborate a bit more on like-for-like trends, whether you see any notable variation across categories and within regions, i.e. north versus south, anything on those lines. And if you could just talk about OPEX costs, it looks like you had a good performance in the quarter. How should we think about that going forward?
you know, very difficult to elaborate on like-for-like in a year where most of the answers are depending from weather. What I can tell you honestly is that any week of good weather has been delivering good sales, and any week of bad weather delivered poor sales. What seems becoming a new behavior in the consumers is that they do not buy in advance. In the fast fashion industry, they buy when they need. And I have not seen major differences across categories, with the exclusion of women, that also according to market data point has performed worse than men and kids. So if you take the official figure for the market in Italy, the market is negative about 2.5%. This 2.5% is about 4% in the women and minus one, something like that, in kids. We had a similar dynamic with women, contrarily to last year, that was, if I'm not wrong, the segment better performing, and 2 years ago was the same. This year, women is suffering more than men and kids, and I guess that probably this has been also driven by the good performance of Zara, which is particularly strong in women, Zara and Bershka, and I guess this is also generated by their drastic price reduction, which has been one of the important market dynamic elements which characterize the market. And we have noticed that in all the OVS store nearby a Zara store, we had 1.5% lower performance compared to the regional store, the OVS stores which are operating in the same area. So the like-for-like has been really moving up and down during the year. Some weeks great, some weeks horrible, and the results has been driven by this weather heracity, if I may say. No major difference between downtown and shopping mall. In general, shopping mall better than downtown in the first half, but in September, October, very similar. North and south, similar, excluding the weeks in which weather was particularly unusual, and in the south the weather impact is even higher than in the north, as you can imagine. In the north of Europe, October is always cold. In Italy, from Rome to Naples, October can be extremely rigid or extremely warm. And this year people were going to the islands to take a bath in October. So this makes Italy a little bit more sensitive to weather, in positive, in the good moments. Like last year, we had a great weather, and we informed you that part of our great results were also driven by a very good month of May, for instance, but also when weather is negative. So I'm sorry not to be able to give you a better answer, but this is the situation.
No, that's great, thanks. And just on, in terms of OPEX performance, is there anything you can draw out there, and how should we think about that over the next 12 months?
I forgot the second question. I think I have nothing to say particularly. We did well. You know that this company is very strongly oriented to cost control. It is part of our managerial attitude. We are always keeping costs under tight control. Maybe the only color I can give is that on rent reduction, we are achieving our original expectation. We expected to save about 4 million this year. if I'm not wrong, Nicola, and we are achieving this amount. So
yeah,
I think that this
3.5, and now we are a little bit above 4.
Okay, so better than expected, and we are still in line with continuing delivering high level of discipline in cost. So I do not expect any surprise at that level.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
The next question is from Andrea Bonfà with Banca Aletti. Please go ahead.
Hello, good afternoon. I hope you can hear me.
Yes, I do.
Hello. Now, just a few questions. One is related to the UPIM performance. I'm quite impressed because, I mean, to have such a leverage at EBITDA level with not so much increase in sales is quite impressive. So if you can expand on that, in particular, what is your vision on the on that chain potential? Is that now more or less stable as a expansion potential, or do you expect large upside in the forecoming years or in the medium term? And a detail, last year, UPIM performance was particularly strong in the last quarter in terms of the EBITDA. If it's possible to have an idea, what shall we expect for this year? If you can replicate that. And finally, what's the pipeline of openings so far for 2017? Thank you very much.
A lot of questions. I try to keep note. UPIM. UPIM, the reason for the great improvement is related to several aspects. The most important is that the business model has been stabilized. We have a solid woman category now that we didn't have. We have a solid, a super solid kid category that we already had. We got rid of most of the perfumeries directly managed because I don't like to have in a value format a perfumery which is not a value. And we have invited a partner to open and to manage perfumery, which is not our DNA, replacing the wholesale that we made directly. This is generating much better turnover and commissions because this business is managed under a concession model. So basically, UPIM is focusing on the core business, which is textile and non-decoration, and is not getting defocused by other ancillary business like perfumery, where we are finding professional partners which are using that space. And this is another element of growth. So we are improving gross margin as a result of it, focusing on apparel, and having improved the organizational structure, the sell-through of the apparel is much, much better than last year. So lower markdown and much higher gross margin. This is the first reason, independent from the growth and from the sales. Then there is another good aspect that because I was becoming aware that UPIM was becoming stable, I started again opening some stores, and all the stores we open are generating a much higher store EBITDA compared to the old ones. And so that induced me to enter in the second part of your question. What about growth and pipeline? UPIM is not at the end of its trajectory. UPIM is at the beginning of its trajectory because I think that it is worthwhile to remember what UPIM was. UPIM as a brand had the reputation of a company with 450 million turnover. We acquired 5 years ago, we converted most of the UPIM into Oviese very successfully, and we end up with not more than 30 stores for a turnover of 120, 130, I don't remember. The EBITDA at that time when we acquired the company was negative. Then the EBITDA once we converted the store into Oviese, the remaining store were generating a modest EBITDA of a few millions, but this EBITDA was generated by stores that were having a very high cost because they were flagship, two, three floors, Rome, Milan, very expensive in terms of rent. So these stores are generating still a positive EBITDA of about 10%. But these stores do not represent today other than 30% of the sales of UPIM, because the remaining sales are represented by stores which has been acquired during the year or stores that are being opened from scratch now. And these stores are generating from 18 to 22% of store EBITDA. So as more as UPIM will continue growing, as higher the final UPIM EBITDA will become because of a operating leverage, but also because of a mix effect, because all the new stores are generating 20% EBITDA margin on average. What does it mean? That because UPIM is a very simple value retailer, and I'm reducing prices of UPIM every season, next season we will have more entry level, we could even kind of compete with Primark in terms of prices gradually. I'm not saying that I'm doing it now, but I'm preparing UPIM to be able to play also at same price level than Primark with reference to some component of the assortment. UPIM is very basic, easy, family, low cost, and we can open dozens, probably hundreds of UPIM. Next year, I plan to open at least 15 new UPIM. Once this year, I don't remember, Perin, you helped me, we opened maybe four, five, I don't remember. So UPIM will continue growing in terms of a new opening, and will continue growing in terms of sales and EBITDA. In terms of the EBITDA for the year end, you correctly noticed that last year, the last quarter was very important. This year will be very important as well. And we believe that this year, UPIM will generate more than 20 million EBITDA at year end. Then the opening of OVS, in general, the pipeline for new opening, I think that 2017 will continue being characterized by a great number of DOS new opening, OVS, and this time also UPIM will be important. So probably, hopefully, we will open more stores, DOS full format, in 2017 than in 2016. And we believe that we will continue opening a huge number of franchisees, like a small kid store. I think we will continue opening about 100 new stores also next year of kids. I hope that I gave you the answers that you were asking to the question that you were asking.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
As a reminder,
I think we need to end up the call now, because now we are going to switch to another meeting.
If there is a last question, I'm ready for the last question.
There are no more questions registered at this time.
Good. So thank you.
Thank you to everybody.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Bye-bye.